What's up, Rock family? Good to see everybody, and God bless you. Welcome to the Rock Church. I want to say hello to all of our campuses and everybody joining us online. So shout out to San Marcos, Rock Church, El Cajon, City Heights, Rock Church, Chula Vista, our campus in Oahu. Everybody here in the room, would you clap your hands and greet your family? Say hello. Happy Sunday. It is going to be an incredible day. How many of you are excited to be at church this morning? Excited to be here at church. That's good. That's good news. Me too. My name is Travis, and I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team here alongside Pastor Miles and our team. Just a joy to serve you and to share the word from time to time. I love that video that we just came out of on baptism, and that's a recap from what happened last year. Hundreds of people went public with their faith, but we showed it to you because today, as maybe you saw, is also Global Beach Baptism. Anybody getting baptized today? Come on now, clap your hands for all those getting water baptized. Awesome. Come on, man. Amazing. As it really is the first response of the believer, the first discipleship step is to go get water baptized. And so I couldn't think of a better day, an easier day. Come on, October 19th, 80 degrees in San Diego. You could be in a lot worse place to go get baptized. And you got two options, right? You got two. You got the beach. If you really want to, you know, be gritty and go for it, get that sand life on you, or you can go to the pool right there at the plunge, and we'll be there. All of our campuses. I think we have just under 400 people already registered to get baptized. And then last year we had over 100 people that just walked up and said, "Hey, I heard what's going on. I saw what's happening. I haven't been baptized. Can I get baptized? I drove from LA," and we're believing that same thing will happen today. So let's just thank the Lord one more time. He's faithful. He's good. We just wrapped up our last series entitled Truth Intention. I hope you enjoyed that series. And we're going to take a little two-week pause, so I'll do a one-off message today and then next week. And then we're going to pick back up in November, starting Heart for Your House. And that's a series that we've done the past several years, getting you into the vision of what we believe God has for us above and beyond to the Rock Church. And we invite you to give towards that. And so I want you to be praying about that already, and I encourage you to your family as a single person, "Lord, what are you going to have me do?" As we hear about the vision for the house here that we call Rock Church, but also be praying about your house, your life. God, what do you have for me? What's the vision for my life? To go above and beyond where I am today. And so that's in 2 weeks. Today, though, I want to bring a message to you that really I was inspired by our young adult community that for the past year have been going through a series entitled Follow Me. Everybody say, "Follow Me." Follow Me. And it's an invitation from Jesus to his disciples. Say, "Come on, come. Follow me. Let me make you into a fisher of men. Let me make you a disciple." And they've been marching through the different disciples. Jesus had 12 notable disciples. And a disciple is really just anybody that has said, "I'm going to follow Jesus. Hello. I'm going to leave my old life and I'm going to turn towards the Lord and I'm going to start following him." And really, we know that following is easy, but it costs you everything. It's easy to say yes to the call, but then it costs you everything. But everything that's valuable costs you something, doesn't it? Your phone costs you something. That new shirt you're wearing costs you something. That car you're driving is valuable to you. It costs you something. The school, that college person that you just got accepted to, you got to pay for it. That costs you something. You know that. Everything worthwhile costs you something. But here's what God's word has to say about discipleship. In Matthew 16, 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, the way that you like to live, the way that you like to do things, and then take up your cross and follow me.'" Well, what does that mean, take up my cross? The cross killed Jesus. Exactly. Campuses, exactly. Every day we say, "I'm going to deny who I want to be, and I'm going to pick up the very thing that helps deny my flesh. And I'm dying to myself every day to be more like Jesus." If I'm saying I want to be a follower of Jesus, and that's the invitation, because there's somebody today going, "Man, I just pulled up. Heard they had some coffee and snacks. That's why I came." Invitation is the same, to be a follower of Jesus. So the cost is this: allowing God to change your life little by little, more and more every day. And maybe you've heard it said that Jesus loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to keep you there. That's discipleship. He's changing you, maturing you. Or maybe the best way I can say it is that discipleship says, I will give up and lay down the me that I want to be all for the sake of letting God make me into the me I've always been called to be. That's the cost. That's the call to discipleship. And we're going to look at a character today that I think will bless you. So let's bow our heads, pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for our time. Thank you for your scriptures and your invitation today, Holy Spirit, to be more like Jesus, to leave the old life behind and to step into all things new. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. The whole family said, amen and amen. Let's just thank the Lord one more time because we can, because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Of all the 12 notable disciples that I want to talk to you about today, the one that I really want to go through is the one that maybe you've never heard of, maybe the one that you've skipped over in Scripture. His name is Bartholomew. He's also known as Nathaniel, and he's kind of the forgotten disciple. How many of you have ever seen the show The Chosen? Yeah, okay. The name The Chosen is literally the disciples that Jesus chooses. Well, Bartholomew didn't make season one of The Chosen TV series. Like, so how chosen was he? He's kind of like this forgotten character that we barely read about in Scripture. And even in his name, Bartholomew, Bar just means son of, and Tholomai. So he's Bartholomew, son of Tholomai, and we read about that name in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, and then he's called Nathanael in the book of John, but it's the same person. But there's only one real story about him, this exchange that he has with Jesus. And if you got your scriptures with you today, would you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth gospel account in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I'm going to be in John chapter 1. I'm going to read through verses 43 and 49. If you don't have it with you, we'll put it up on the screen so you can follow. But this is the story of Bartholomew, Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me, Philip." Like Andrew and Peter, it was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael, that's our guy, and he told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So here's our story. Not really, there's no giant that was slain. There's no sea that was parted. Nobody walks on water. There's no one that escapes the lion's den. None of that happens. It's just this kind of short story. And Philip is really invited to come follow. And we see that Nathanael Bartholomew is kind of invited to his friend's party, and it kind of comes along. Anybody ever been invited to a party that really you weren't invited, but your friend was, but you were with your friend, so you came too? Ever have that before? This is what happened in the story. And so, you know, Philip comes to the party, and Jesus, like, "My guy, Philip, Jesus, yeah, we're here." And then there you are, Bartholomew. He's like, "Huh, what happened?" "I came with Philip. He said I could roll. He said I could come. Hope that's okay." And yeah. So this is the only encounter. There's nothing really just that's overwhelming. It's not noteworthy. There's nothing that says, pay attention to this guy. Don't forget Bartholomew, Nathanael, don't forget this guy, because he's not the guy that walked on water. Who was that? That was Peter. He's not the guy that cast out a demon. And that's actually Philip in our story. He didn't cut off the soldier's ear. That was also Peter, because Peter's got that kind of main character energy. He's in everything. He didn't love, Jesus didn't love him the most. That was John, who wrote the Gospel of John. He didn't find Jesus first on Easter morning. That was Mary. He didn't heal a lame man. That was Paul. He didn't preach the very first Christian sermon in the book of Acts, where 3,000 people came to faith. That was Peter again, always Peter. Bartholomew, Nathanael. In the Bible, here's what we see. A quiet life. You see a quiet life. There's not a whole lot about Bartholomew and Nathanael. Just a quiet story. Quiet character, quiet life. It wasn't until after the resurrection where you see all these disciples have this newfound boldness in them, and we don't see it in Scripture, but historically we learn about Bartholomew's missionary work. He begins preaching the gospel in Mesopotamia, in Ethiopia. He records, and we record that he tells of a copy of Matthew's gospel left in India. That was attributed to our guy Bartholomew. He was noted for converting a lot of kings, Arminian kings specifically, to the faith. He was noted for performing miracles eventually in Persia. That's modern day Iraq and Iran. But maybe most noteworthy isn't just the ministry that he did post-resurrection, but maybe what was most noteworthy, campuses, is how he died. He was a martyr. He died for his faith, so much so that he was eventually beheaded, but before he was beheaded, he was flayed alive. That means they skinned him, and then they beheaded him. I brought an interesting picture for you, though, because this is an interesting perspective that, we'll put this picture up for you. This is a painting by a very famous painter that maybe you've heard the name Rembrandt before. And this is one of Rembrandt's famous paintings that he's done. And he did a few on the apostles. He did Apostle Paul. Well, this is the apostle, our homie Bart. Bartholomew, Nathaniel. And if you notice in the picture, it's kind of dark imagery, but he's there and he's holding a knife. He's holding a blade, but he's not angry about the knife and he's not excited about the knife. It's almost as if he's sitting there holding the blade and he's actually measuring and counting the cost, as if he's saying, listen, I've counted the cost of being a follower of Jesus. And I lived a quiet life, but man, did I have a bold faith. Here's what I love about this picture, this painting. It's a Rembrandt, but this picture, and it's kind of prophetic for San Diego, maybe for all of us, but especially for us today, is that this picture is actually hanging up right now in Balboa Park at one of our museums. Isn't that cool? Rembrandt paints this picture and he chooses this quiet character, and there he is in reflection with his knife. And so there's this dichotomy between this quiet life that we see in Bartholomew, but then post-resurrection there's this boldness, so much so that he's outspoken about his faith and he's doing miracles, and then he's martyred and he's killed for his faith. We don't know him for the flashy life, we know him for his bold faith. And so I want to speak to you from the message title, Quiet Life, Loud Faith. Quiet life, loud faith. Especially going into the holiday season, I think this is a timely, on-time word, because we got Halloween around the corner, and then you got Thanksgiving, and then you have Christmas, and the holidays sometimes are like a permission slip to some people to not pick up their cross, but to lay down their cross so they can pick up a good time. And you got, you know, what are we, 8 days, 10 days from Halloween, and I already know, like, this is your notice that some of you got the naughty nurse outfit in the Amazon queue right now. Like, it's there. You've been spying it. Wait till they see me in this. First, I gotta take off my cross so I can pick up the outfit. I'm not picking it up, I'm putting down the cross. Quiet life, no, loud life, quiet faith. I'm taking it off so I can pick up the party, I can pick up the thing, and then we get to Thanksgiving, and maybe the temptation there isn't the scandalous outfits and the wild parties or whatever, but maybe it's the gluttony. And then maybe in Christmas it's the materialism. But either way, I'm taking off my Christ identity, who God's called me to be, and I'm just picking up this loud life. But that's not what a disciple is known for. And again, if you're not a Christian today and you came for the first time, welcome, and you'll get that opportunity by the end. We want to invite you to that journey with the Lord, but a disciple is known for other things. Quiet life, loud faith. And so my question for all of us is, what are you going to be known for today? What are you going to be known for this week as you go back to work? And what are you going to be known for in this season? We're living in an AI era right now, AI generation, and there's so many different versions, ChatGPT, and you got this one and that one, you got Christian versions now, and it's in a lot of ways making life really cool, and then also complicated. But one of the things I love about AI is that it gets better at helping you the more information you give it about you. Are you tracking with that so far? And so the more information you give it, by the way, That's why your algorithm looks the way your algorithm looks, because you've been looking at things and giving things, and it's just kind of giving it back to you. And so if we asked AI right now, based on the things that I've told you about me, how would you describe me? What would you say I'm known for? Real question, because if we ask the Holy Spirit in the same way, Holy Spirit, based on what you know about me and my life and the way I've been living, what would you say I'm known for? And would the Holy Spirit say, oh, quiet life, loud faith? Or would he say, loud life, little baby, quiet faith? Here's what 1 Thessalonians says in chapter 4, verse 11. It says, make it your goal to live a what? Quiet life. I'm just making this up. This is in God's word. It says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we're instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. And so I'm going to live a quiet life, but I'm still working hard, still pursuing all that God has for me. But my lifestyle, watch this, the things I do and the things I don't do will tell the world that my life belongs to Jesus and that I'm a disciple. I'm living a quiet life, but a loud faith. Yeah, we can clap right there. We can clap right there. Come on. I was at the airport a few weeks ago, did some traveling, and on the way back had a layover a couple times, a couple of extra hours. And so I'm walking back and forth the same place, and you know, use the restroom and go get a coffee and sit down, charge my phone. And I kept walking by this room that looked like a VIP section. And maybe you've seen this room, but I'm walking by, and it's called, I think it's called Sky Lounge. Anybody know that room? Okay. Any members of Sky Lounge? Okay, I want to hang out with you. But I'm walking by, and I'm looking in. I'm like, man, what is this place? Everyone looks like they're having a great time. Everyone's laughing. Eating free food and snacks and special drinks. And like, I'm like, there's a line coming out the door to get in. I'm like, is this a club? Is that a DJ? Just looks awesome. Looks awesome. And so I'm walking by, and I'm, you know, I even walked by twice, just like, go back to my seat and hang over here and charge my phone. And I started thinking, man, I wonder if Jesus would be trying to get in that room. And no shade on those that have access. Get all the access you can get. But Jesus would be worthy of the Sky Lounge, worthy of the VIP room. But I just know the character of what I see in Scripture. And Jesus was never trying to get more attention, was he? He was never trying to ask for special treatment. I think he'd just be with the regular folks. I just think that's his nature. In fact, he was always trying to get away from the attention, always running away from the crowd. San Marcos, he was always trying to get to the boat to get away from the people chasing him. He was always trying to get away to a garden, to a what? A quiet place. Quiet place. To live a quiet life that would eventually produce the loudest faith we've ever seen. Quiet life, loud faith. Anybody in college at church today? Anybody in college? Right there? With the blue top right there. Yeah. What's your name? Carissa? With a C? With a K. Huh. Look at that. With a K. Carissa with a K. Awesome. Carissa, if you don't mind me asking how old you are, you look like you're 20-something. 20? 20 years old. Carissa, and you can help her out. What was Jesus doing when he was 20? We don't know. Carissa, what was Jesus doing when he was 18? We don't know. What about 27? We don't know. Why? Because he was living a quiet life. He was maybe making some wooden boats because he was a carpenter. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was making some rocking chairs, right? The kind you see at Cracker Barrel, you know, just because he was a carpenter. I don't know what he was doing, but it was quiet. I was at a conference for pastors and specifically those that preach and teach. It was called Speak Conference. And their tagline for the conference came from a quote from Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Carissa, that's a crazy name. God bless you. You got Carissa with a K. He got Zinzendorf. But the tagline for the Speak Conference was this: preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. Woo! It blessed me a little bit. A moment I walked in, I see this, and you know, here we go, let's all go be better communicators. And it says, preach the gospel, die, be forgotten. But the world is saying, make money, be loud, live a loud life, get more followers, get more attention, hustle, grind, bigger house, more, better, louder. That's the world says. It's not saying, preach, die, be forgotten, quiet life. It's saying, no, loud life. And that's our struggle. That's our struggle. No one is saying quiet life. No one is saying more humility. No one is saying more integrity. No, very few people are saying get into your word. Memorize God's word. Put it on your heart. Just sit in God's presence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be led by all that God is doing. No, the world is focused on being big and loud about you, not loud about him. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Oh, what? Watch this. This is the cheat code. Humble yourself before the Lord. So in due time, when the time is right, who does the lifting? Who does the promoting? God does the lifting. I don't have to promote myself, because if I humble myself, I go low, eventually he lifts me high. Quiet life, loud faith. I love this the story that I found about a young pastor who was being mentored. And part of the mentorship was that the mentor pastor was telling him a story of when he would travel to India to visit his friend Teresa. And the mentor is telling this young pastor about his friend, and he would say, we would travel to India. I would go and visit my friend Teresa, and she always loved serving the poor, and she always just helping and just blessing people, and just no one knew about the ministry, a lot of missionary work. And then one day, God decided, you know what? I want everybody to know about Mother Teresa. And just like that, she was quiet, humble, serving, honoring in the name of the Lord. God says, now it's time. I do the lifting. I do the promotion. She lived a quiet life that produced a loud faith. There's seven principles. I want to do it quickly. Now, I think we can learn from the story of Bartholomew. Number one, if you're taking notes, when I'm quiet about my accomplishments, I can be loud about God's glory. When I'm quiet about my accomplishments, I'm loud about God's glory. And not the fake, like, it's all God, it's all him. Like, hey, you did a great job, it's all him, bro, it's all him. Not that fake humility. The real thing. I heard someone say that humility is accurate confidence. Accurate confidence in who you are and who God is. In Psalm 115, it says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. And God wants to use us to do great things, but ultimately, he wants to be the one that gets the credit. And he chooses people like you and me, flawed people, so that when you get the job and your friends are like, bro, I know you don't, like, that had to be God, because like, you're not qualified for that. Or when you finally, you've been praying for the girl, and you get the girl, and you, oh my God, we're getting married, it's gonna be awesome, and then your boys go, bro, we didn't want to tell you, but you're an ugly dog, bro, and I can't believe that you got this girl. That had to be God. Tell me more about Jesus. This is incredible. So how do we do quiet life, loud faith? I'm quiet about my accomplishments. I'm loud about God's glory. I stay humble, so he stays visible. Here's the second thing. I'm quiet about my possessions, and I'm loud about God's favor. A quiet life produces loud faith, and so I'm quiet about my possessions. I'm loud about God's favor. My son Levi has been wanting to collect coins recently and cards, and there was one, a Michael Jordan rookie signature hologram card. I'm like, bro, what are we doing? This is like multiple thousands of dollars to get this card. And so he's like, no, we'll find one. And he kept bringing them up, and we found one. And they sell, counterfeit's not the right word, but like a replica, that's the right word, on Amazon. It was still $40 for this little card. I'm like, might as well have been $4,000, you know what I mean, for this little card, my 8-year-old son. And he's like, no, Dad, I'm going to save for it. And so he did. He saved his money, and I put in a little bit, and so we got the card. The card came, and he was so excited for it for a few days. And then it came with one of those cases, and has like a grating on it, so you know how good it is. And he's holding. And then I saw him trying to crack the case open. I'm like, brother. It was a $40 card that I know it's not what you want, but it's still $40. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You know what he told me? He said, Dad, this is mine. I said, let me read the verse to you, son. Let me read the verse to you. Let me find the verse. Here it is. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so my stuff is really not my stuff. Everything I have is on loan from heaven. Everything I have, everything I've earned, everything I think I've earned and I've gathered and my things, that no, everything is from the Lord. We don't deserve our things. I haven't earned my stuff. It belongs to God. And so a quiet life that produces loud faith says, when I'm quiet about my possessions, I can be loud about God's favor. It's his blessing in my life. Here's number three. When I'm quiet about my appearance, I'm loud about God's temple. This is timely. When I'm quiet about my appearance, I'm loud about God's temple. We used to say this when I was in college, modest is hottest. Modest is hottest, ladies. But let me say it this way now as a 41-year-old married man. Modesty isn't hiding beauty, it's revealing maturity. And so I don't know where you are on that scale. Because you're like, I'm about to the naughty nurse. What are you talking about? All of this. let me just get to the verse. I'm gonna read the verse first, then I'll tell you a story. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, with whom you have from God? You are not your own. Do you not know this is the temple of the Holy Spirit? There's this. Any, I don't know. You don't gotta raise your hand. Gym bros. I know we have a few at church. Gym bros. There's this new phenomenon called the pump cover. Anybody know about the pump cover? The pump cover, yeah, a couple right here. Okay, the pump cover is I wear a large shirt or a large hoodie, girls do it too, before I get the pump. I'm at the gym. And so I go to the gym, I got the pump cover, the hoodie, the shirt, and then I'm pumping, and then the reveal. You see me? Pumped. Put the cover back on. Cover's off. Pump cover. We didn't have the pump cover when I was in high school, started working out. High school, gym, football players, all the athletes were in there trying to do our worst at 15 years old. We had cutoff shirts. We had the cutoff shirt. That's all we had. We had PE shirt, cut the arms off it, and then it was a competition on how much shirt we could start cutting off. We started cutting the arms, and the sleeves went from here to here. And they started going here, and they started getting weird and went here. And then sooner or later, some of these guys were cutting their shirts so much, all they had was neck, like the collar, a little bitty string right here, and a waist. I was like, what are we doing? What is this? Out here working out in floss, just, you know. What is that? We needed this verse. I wish someone told us that my body isn't my own, that your body isn't your own. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A quiet life, a modest appearance produces a loud faith that says all of this belongs to the Lord. All of this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Quiet life, loud faith. Here's number four. When I'm quiet about my opinions, I'm loud about God's wisdom. We're living through that podcast era right now. There's a podcast. We got a lot of opinions and not enough examples. A lot of voices, not enough people to look after. I want to live my life like that. A lot of voices, a lot of chatter, a lot of opinions. We need people that know and live God's word. I've been coming up with this thing I'm calling the 100 verse challenge. And starting with my family, and I have 100 verses that I memorized and kind of a short way to quickly call them to memory. And can you imagine that? If you just had 100 verses always on your heart and mind, how anointed you'd feel, how powerful you'd feel. I could just call it to mind, just start speaking God's word. I'm going to challenge the guys that I'm discipling, my young adults, to know God's word. But why would I do that? Well, here's what Psalm 119 says. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the Bible directs my life. It directs my steps. It's a lamp unto my feet, my step, my day, my tomorrow, my week, and then it lights up my path, my direction. And so I don't have to look at the world and like, oh, they're so loud over here. I don't want to give attention. When I'm quiet about my opinions, then I can be loud about God's wisdom. When I stop talking, that's when God can start talking. Quiet life produces a loud faith. I'm going fast. I got a few more. Here's number five. When I'm quiet about my money, I'm loud about godly generosity. When I'm quiet about my money, I'm loud about godly generosity. Years ago, we were at dinner, and there was a couple that we saw sitting in front of us that we thought we recognized. Maybe they recognized us. We didn't say anything. And then the time came to pay the bill. And the bill comes, and the server goes, your bill's been paid. And we're, you know, we did what you probably did. We're like looking around. Who paid our bill? And we were super blessed and excited to do it. But maybe more than blessed, we were inspired to pay it forward. And so we get excited now to do the same thing and look for people who have an anniversary or a special, Carissa, like a holiday or graduation. And we don't have Ruth's Chris generosity. We have more like Applebee's generosity, because generosity is still on a budget. Come on, somebody. But we look for opportunities to bless. And here's what God's word says in Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to what? Give than receive. It's better to give than to receive. And it's a reminder that God is not in the business of blessing you so that you can raise your standard of living. God is in the business of blessing you so that you and I can raise our standard of giving. I want to be generous. And so that the person that says, no, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple, I've weighed the cost, and so I have a quiet life. I'm not that loud about all my stuff and all my money and all my things, and look at me, and bah, 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 cash money. I'm loud about my generosity. And that's the life, and that's the follower. It says, my wallet will be a weapon, and I will use it to build the kingdom of God and not my kingdom. I'm building his. Here's number six, two more. When I'm quiet about my fears, I'm loud about God's faithfulness. When I'm quiet about my fears, I'm loud about God's faithfulness. Maybe you've heard the acrostic or the acronym. Fear is spelled F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Here's the thing I love about fear and faith. They both require you to believe in something you haven't seen. Both. So just choose faith, right? Why won't I just choose? I can't pay my rent, but I just know that God is faithful. And I can show it to you in his word in 2 Timothy. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He can't not be faithful. He can't not come through. He can't not be the source of what we need of our hope and our joy and our peace and our patience, our forgiveness. He just has to be. He's faithful. And so I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to be quiet about my faith. I'm going to quiet faith, start talking about God's faithfulness. And here's what it looks like. Here's what it sounds like. I'm going to stop telling God how big my problems are, and I'm going to start telling my problems how great and big my God is. Quiet about my fear. Loud about my faithfulness. Loud about his glory. Loud about his goodness. Loud about his power. Here's number seven, my last one. When I'm quiet about my ambitions, I'm loud about God's purpose. And Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so, Lord, your will be done. I got goals, I got dreams, but your way is better. And as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, I'm surrendered to your greater purpose. Discipleship comes at a cost, but I've measured it, just like Bartholomew did. Hey, holding that knife, I've measured it. I understand that the life of a Jesus follower isn't attend, give, serve, although that's part of it. It's me picking up my cross every day, dying to myself a little bit more, having a quiet life that isn't flashy, that isn't notable, that doesn't desire attention, all so that it can produce in me a loud faith. Puts the world on notice. Produces a loud faith. That word produce means that there's something on the inside that make something come out on the outside. And so I went to the produce section yesterday in the evening. I knew I was gonna come grab some oranges, and so I grabbed them. And I wanted to show this to you because, Carissa, if I were to squeeze this orange, you didn't know you were gonna be in my sermon, but I'm so glad you are. You're gonna help me land this plane. Carissa, if I were to squeeze this orange, what would come out? Juice, what kind of juice? Orange juice. We all know what this is about. We know what an orange is known for, and if I were to squeeze it, orange juice would come out. So what happens when your life gets squeezed? What comes out? Because what comes out, Carissa, is evidence of what's already inside. And so when life squeezes and stuff happens, what comes out of you? Is it quiet life, loud faith, or is it loud life, little baby, quiet faith? Because the invitation today is to say, Lord, no, I don't want to live that old life anymore. I want to live like you, just like you called Philip and you called Bartholomew, Nathaniel. We don't really see a whole lot, but we know what happened after the resurrection. This guy was after it. He paid for it. He gave his life away for it. He picked up his cross, literally. Gave his life away for the gospel, for Jesus. And so here's what it looks like today. The invitation is lead a quiet life. God has some quieting he wants to do in your life. There's some areas that he wants to quiet down. There's some thinking in your mind he wants to quiet down, all so that he can begin producing something beautiful, a loud faith. It looks like I'm getting baptized today. That's the loud faith I'm talking about. The loud faith that says, I am going to start serving. I'm going to come every week. The loud faith that says, you know what? I can't live with you anymore because we're living in sin. We've been sleeping together. We're not married. I can't do that. And I know everyone's all about it and our friends. I just can't. I got to go this way, quiet life. I know it's not appealing to you, but I'm about my loud faith in Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. And for somebody else, you just need to begin the life of Jesus. That's the loudest thing you can do today, is to say, yes, Jesus. Yes, God. That's the loudest thing you can do. It's the loudest statement you can make today. That's the loudest thing you can shout to the world, is my life belongs to Jesus. I'm now a Christian. Everything looks different. Everything looks different. Everything's changed for me. So I want to give you a chance to do that. All of our campuses, all of our locations online here in the room, would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of our good friend Bartholomew and Nathaniel. Thank you for the message of living a quiet life that produces a loud faith. I believe you have that for us today. And there's someone that needs to make a decision to quiet some things down so that you can produce something loud and faithful in them. And so we just do that right now. Whatever that thing is, we give it to you right now. We just say, I surrender that. Do it now in your heart. Just say, I surrender that thing. I surrender that relationship. I surrender that person. I surrender that thinking. I surrender that addiction. I surrender that bad habit. I surrender that place. I surrender that memory. May it be quiet and produce something loud in me that's faithful. And there's somebody else, the loudest thing you can do right now is just say yes to Jesus. And so if that's you in the quiet of your heart, I want you to pray this prayer of salvation with me. Just say, dear God, I admit that I've been living for me loud life that looks just like the world and it hasn't been working out. I admit that I've sinned. I admit that I fall short of your love. But I'm thankful that you do love me. And I believe that you have the power to forgive my sin today. I believe that you died for me. And so right now, I invite you into my life. I confess you as the Lord over everything. I invite you to be my Savior. And Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. Make me a new person. Change me. Thank you that you love me. I love you. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer today at any one of our campuses or online or even in the room on the count of three, I'd love to have you raise your hand on the count of three so I can pray for you and see you. On the count of three, lift your hand. 1, 2, 3. Hands up all across the room. Awesome. God bless you. 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 See you. God bless you. God bless you. See you. God bless you. See you. Good. Lord, thank you for those hands. You can put them down. Thank you for every single person that said yes to you, Jesus. We commit our lives to you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to just fall fresh on those individuals and anybody that's saying, I just want more of you. I want more of your love, more of your presence. Do a quieting in the areas of our life that are not honoring to you, Lord. We want to be followers of you. We want to pick up our cross every day and be loud about our faith. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord, church. Come on.